by writer-director Matthew Brown. In the early 20th century, Srinivasa Ramanujan, a young man from India who had almost no formal training in pure mathematics, made some extraordinary contributions to mathematical analysis, number theory, game theory, elliptic functions, continued fractions, and infinite series. And although his name remains largely unknown to the Western world, his work is still being used to study the behavior of things like black holes. Writer-director Matthew Brown has adapted his remarkable story into a new feature film called The Man Who Knew Infinity. It stars Dev Patel and Jeremy Irons, and it opens this Friday at IFC Films. I'm very pleased that it has brought both Matthew Brown and Jeremy Irons to our show today. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
And welcome back, Jeremy. Matthew, was Robert Cattergill's book, The Man Who Knew Infinity, your first introduction to Ramanujan and the story?
It was. I had heard the name before referenced in the Good Will Hunting movie, but then I came across the book. About 10 years after it came out. My aunt was a member of a book club, and she shared it with me, and I was really moved by the story.
Well, there's no major love story here. There was one in Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story about two mathematicians. It's set in the early 20th century. Was it difficult to convince funders that this kind of project should be made?
Absolutely. It took us about 12 years to get the film made.
So that was longer than Ramanujan actually stayed in Cambridge.
That's very true. It was a long journey. It's difficult. You know, we had an Indian being the star of the film. It's a period film. And then you had mathematics as a background for it. So we wanted to make a film that would be able to transcend the mathematics.
Actually, the film is two stars, and the other star is Jeremy Irons. How did your character, G.H. Hardy, hear about this young mathematical autodidact from India?
Well, he sent a letter and some of his calculations, some of his notebooks, to Cambridge to about four professors, I think, and about three of them thought this is some sort of con trick. This can't be that this unknown person, uneducated, no university education at all, could come up with these figures. But G.H. Hardy, who was also sent a letter, he had his interest pricked and followed it up, and got Cambridge to invite him over.
They make an unlikely pair, a Tamil Hindu, an atheist, married and single, autodidact, a highly educated academic. Did they have problems communicating?
Well, they were, yes, completely, completely different.
Although mathematics is a universal language.
Well, it is, but
talk in numbers.
But Ramanujan got his figures during the night. His goddess, what was her name?
Namagiri.
Namagiri would place them on his tongue.
In his dreams.
Yeah.
And that's really the best explanation, really, to this day. I've been meeting with all kinds of mathematicians, and I've begun to really appreciate the tremendous amount of mathematics that Ramanujan was able to do, and they can't explain it any better than his explanation about Namagiri putting him on his tongue.
And of course, G.H. Hardy, being a confirmed atheist, found this rather hard to believe. So there was a huge gulf between them, but a shared passion, which is what brought them together, of pure mathematics.
It's still a mystery to someone like me with little mathematical ability how a bunch of equations written down in the years leading up to World War I can have played a significant part in the development of things that weren't even conceived for many decades until many decades later.
It's completely remarkable.
What part of the problem? They looked at these equations and theorems and didn't really understand their application?
Well, it wasn't that they didn't understand the possibility for application. G.H. Hardy, played absolutely brilliantly by Jeremy, is...
I agree.
He really is incredible. They were pure mathematicians. They were artists. And that's one of the things I came to really respect, was that pure mathematicians, that's an art form, much like painting, much like music. And the fact that it's being used all these, you know, a century later for study of the behavior of black holes or even being used with string theory is, it's how do you explain that?
In the case of this couple, Ramanujan was met with skepticism, as you said, about the nature and quality of his work, but also some flat-out racism. Was Hardy above that?
I think Hardy was completely above that. I mean, for him, the art, the mathematics, was all that he cared about. Slightly to the detriment of Ramanujan himself, who I don't think he took quite as much care of as he might have done had he not had his head in the mathematical clouds.
Well, these two could be seen today as being on the Asperger's spectrum, so they would not necessarily be totally aware of what was going on. Your co-star is Dev Patel, who is probably best known in this country for Slumdog Millionaires. There's often talk in movies about whether actors playing romantic couples have good chemistry. What about two celibate mathematicians who may be Asperger's?
Well, of course, Ramanujan wasn't celibate. I mean, he had a wife in India.
But she was very young.
But I suspect...
Well, when they married, but not later on. They did consummate their relationship, and it was a foundation for him emotionally. Those letters that they shared back and forth over the war years were a sustaining force for him until they were denied.
And we have those letters and the books of his books of equations. That's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, we have. There's a lot of letters that have survived from Ramanujan to friends, family. I don't want to give away the movie because that's part of it. But
yeah, it's a matter of history. But at the same time, I'm still concerned about spoilers.
I am too.
G.H. Hardy famously called his association with Ramanujan the one romantic incident of my life.
Yeah, and of course, because everything these days is sort of, language has become a little bit cheapened, I think it could be misunderstood that. I think for him the romance was finding somebody who shared a passion.
Yeah, there was an intellectual love affair.
Yeah, and I think it was an extraordinary time for Hardy, and a time which he always looked back on as being the apex of his what was a long career after that.
He became an advocate for Ramanujan.
Absolutely. I mean, at the core of this film is a real human drama. I mean, that's mathematics is sort of the world that this is all set within, but it's really about the cost that comes when people wait out of fear to connect in their relationships, and it's how these two people that are so completely different have to come to deal with that.
Were you good at math, Jeremy, or as the British say, maths?
I was
when you were at school?
Terrible, terrible.
So and did doing this give
such
you some insight?
Such a boring subject. I read, Hardy wrote a wonderful book called, the short book, called The Mathematician's Apology. And when I read that, a completely new world of mathematics opened up for me. And I realized it was, as Matt said earlier, an art. It was... the pure mathematicians believe that all those theories are out there, but what you have to do is to discover them. And so it's a sort of voyage of adventure and imagination. And once I began to think of maths in this way, then I could relate to Hardy, a man who was completely bound up in that world, who was hopeless at personal relationships, and who had always been a brilliant mathematician ever since his early school days, which sort of cut, you know, anybody who's brilliant at a particular subject tends to get a little bit cut off from the social world, and so he was not a social animal, and I think he was quite surprised by the feelings he had, the feelings of protection and pride in Ramanujan. And in a way, that, I think, as Matt said, is the center of our story. It's this extraordinary relationship between a very cut off from the exterior, rather cold Englishman in 1912 in Cambridge, a very academic, and this hot-blooded, sort of mad Indian who had all these extraordinary theories, and the two rubbing up against each other is, I think, great drama.
Now, it was just the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, and a number of British actors have once again joined in the debate over whether Shakespeare really wrote Shakespeare. And all the arguments have to do with the fact that he was not all that well educated and things along those lines. And when I was listening to that, I was thinking about Ramanujan, who is an autodidact, but he was a genius. And an argument could be made, I don't know, you're an actor, who's played Shakespeare, an argument can be made that Shakespeare just was one of those brilliant people, and it didn't need to have an academic background.
Yes, I think certainly he need not have had an academic background. For me, the jury
is out.
Putting
you on the spot there?
No, for me, the jury is out on this. I think there are strong arguments from both sides. I think the argument against Shakespeare and for the Earl of Oxford is that he had experience, geographical experience, which Shakespeare didn't have. Shakespeare remained in London and Stratford.
Yeah, but Shakespeare puts Milan and Verona both on, gives them ports, and they are landlocked cities, so who knows?
One of the things that struck me the most, you know, you're with a story for this long, and it starts to mean different things to you as a filmmaker, is this idea, though, about what the film ultimately means and what the story means. And I think that the fact that G.H. Hardy was open enough to be able to bring this man that otherwise would never have come to Cambridge when two others had turned him down already. There's so many outliers out there in the world that don't have a formal education, and it's really a miracle that Ramanujan came, and I hope that we can be open to the possibility of other outliers.
I'm speaking with Matthew Brown, who's the writer and director of a new film called The Man Who Knew Infinity, and Jeremy Irons, who plays one of the two key players in the story. We see Ramanujan fight with Hardy over mathematical proofs. Hardy wants Ramanujan to write down all of his steps instead of just writing down the solutions. Was that the way they really worked together?
It was. Hardy was concerned. It wasn't so much that he was just trying to... Rigor's complicated. He wanted him to understand the nuances of what it was he was doing, because even Ramanujan's mistakes, they were brilliant. Like, when he tried to crack the prime number theorem, he didn't... We say it was a mistake. It wasn't totally a mistake. He created incredible progress within his mistakes. So it was important that he understood rigor. Back to what Jeremy was talking about, there is this... idea whether or not having proof, whether having a formal education matters, or whether he should have just been allowed to run free. But Hardy didn't know that he would only live for, you know, so long. So I think the concept of proof is important.
We can only wonder what he might have done if he'd lived longer. But I also always wonder why no comparable person has come along since. We have some pretty brilliant mathematicians, but this is a special case.
It is. Hardy put himself at a 20, I believe. He put Littlewood at a 25 or 30, and he put Hilbert at an 80, and he put Ramanujan at 100. He's like a fireball that comes along once in a millennium. But I do believe there's probably other Ramanujans out there, and I hope that, you know, universal education is something that's important and that would encourage...
Ramanujan has now been is generally called the father of Indian mathematics. Mm-hmm. But the story about mathematics and about the relationship between these two men is happening against the backdrop of the beginnings of World War I. How did the war affect Ramanujan?
I would say that Hardy took on great causes, and one of them was bringing Ramanujan over to Cambridge. And then when the war started, Hardy was a pacifist, and he's an incredible man. And he put a lot of his energies into the pacifism that was going on against the war at the university, which was very difficult and very brave. And I think Ramanujan got a little lost in that.
Now, was it difficult for you, as somebody who was not brilliant in mathematics, to write down those equations?
No, we had a fantastic mathematician, Ken Ono, who was our, so to speak, mathematics guide. And once I knew that what I was writing was absolutely right, then I learned it. In fact, I don't have to do too much of it, but that was the acting bit. That was the and you know, when you're doing a specialist subject, and the subject which is not something you share, you don't know whether you're right or wrong, whether the equation is right or wrong, whether the theory you're talking about is right or wrong. And so to have somebody like Ken Ohno, who has to be one of the world's greatest mathematicians, behind my shoulder saying, that's right, you can prove that. So it gave me the confidence to pretend that I knew what I was talking about when it came to maths.
Ramanujan became the first Indian fellow at Trinity, which allowed him to walk across the campus?
Yes, across the grass.
The rules seem so arcane. But he also the second Indian elected a fellow at the Royal Society. Was it surprising to even find an Indian at one of the major universities at that time?
There were a few, but it was far and few between. It was really interesting. We just had the film screened at the Royal Society a couple weeks ago, and the new current head of the Royal Society is Indian, and his favorite line in the movie is when he says, it's your line about an Indian, how could that be a member of the Royal Society, or something to that effect. And here we have today an Indian president.
Now, a number of film projects suddenly, after all these years, suddenly were proposed. Didn't you steal Stephen Fry from a competing project?
No, Stephen had his own project for about 10 years. He was trying to get his made. Actually, I got a call from an outlet, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, about 2007, and they said, would you care to comment on your story about Man Who Knew Infinity and Ramanujan, because there's five others. I was like, what? How's this even possible? But Stephen had his own project, and then I asked him if he would be interested in joining our team, since we were about to make the film, and he very graciously said yes, and he flew all the way to Chennai just to shoot for 2 days, and then flew back. And that was the case with a lot of the people involved in this film. They really had a passion for trying to get the story told to the world. And if I told you the things that Jeremy had to go through and Dev during the shooting to help make this, it's pretty incredible.
Chennai used to be called Madras.
Yes.
But has the film been shown in India?
We showed it. We premiered at the Indian International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. A couple months ago,
and I wasn't there. Did they like it?
They did. They really liked it. So I was pleased. I think they wondered why this, white man from Boston was making this film about Ramanujan, and they were
a good story. Is a good story.
That's what I tried to present, and they were very happy and they were moved by it. So it was very pleasing.
And you have a bunch of other projects in the works, Jeremy. You want to talk about a few of them?
Yeah, well,
how many movies do you make at the same time?
I seem to make rather a lot at the same time. Coming out together is just coincidence. Mm-hmm. I think Stephen Hopkins' Race coming out in a month or so. But I think that's all. I just finished doing a play which seems to have been for the last 2 years, but in fact I started work on it in October, Longest Journey into Night. And I finished that on Saturday, and I'm now...
You're going to play Tyrone.
I play James Tyrone.
James Tyrone.
Yeah. And what
it must be fun playing a ham, for an actor to play a ham.
He's not a ham. He's not a ham. He's as complicated as you are, Leonard.
Nobody as complicated as I am. So we have a number of films about math. Well, of course, there was Good Will Hunting, but there's also the theory of everything. You think there's a growing interest in mathematics and scientists?
I hope there is with science in general. And these films shouldn't take so long to get made. I hope that in the future people will want to push them forward faster.
The Man Who Knew Infinity opens at the IFC Center on Friday. It stars Dev Patel and Jeremy Irons, who's been our guest, along with writer-director Matthew Brown. And I thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.